welcome horsemen of all breeds. This is Scott Miller with International Equine Network. Today we're doing At the Wire. It's all thoroughbreds programming. Today we're going to talk about the Breeders' Cup. We're going to talk about the Belmont. We're going to talk about thoroughbreds just in general. And let me tell you something. The thoroughbred business is getting better and better and better every year that goes by. Belmont Park is redoing their track. If you go to msmequine.com, you can see a video of what they're doing to it. And basically what we do here on the At the Wire, that's our website. You know, this is so funny. People for years have been saying, oh, the horse business is going broke. They're not going to have this track, that track. Well, granted, they did get rid of a lot of tracks. They got rid of Hialeah here in Florida. They got rid of quite a few tracks up in the north. You know, that's really not that we weren't doing good business. It's just that the general area that they were in. I'll give you a good example. Ellis Park was doing really bad. Turfway Park was doing really bad, but they revitalized them. They put money into them. Churchill expanded the Churchill Downs that included Ellis Park and Turfway, and they're successful now because they're doing the right marketing. They're getting out to the people and giving the people what they want, because let's face it, nobody wants to go to the track when all you're talking about is, you know, number five is going to win this race. He's at 2-1 and so forth and so on. They went there and they really put some, to it, as all the old timers would say. And they did. They started telling a story about each track. They started telling about each race and the horses and the trainers and the jockeys that were all in it. And so that's bringing a lot of people into our business. And thank God that they've done that right. Now, they're getting ready to redo Pimlico Racecourse. Redo that. It's a national historical site. And they've got great plans for it. And it'll be ready here in 2 years when they get it all finished. But it's in there to help the economy, you know. And that's like with Belmont Park. If you look on the website, msmequine.com, you can see what they've done to Belmont Park. And they're making it fan-friendly. They're making it just a race. They're making it an app, where you can go and have a good time. You can take the family. You've got plenty of food at inexpensive prices. You got things for them to do, things for them to see. They get close and personal with the horses. A lot of the tracks have backside tours that you can go over, and you get on a tram, and then in the morning you drive around the track and you see them going to the track and getting bathed and the blacksmiths working on them, and you know, you just see all kinds of things like that. And that's what it's all about. This business is all about, you got to be fan friendly, you got to make it affordable and make it something that you don't have to know a lot about horses just to go out and see. That's one of the greatest things in the world about what they're doing now, in the horse industry. So, you know, we got Churchill that's remodeled, has renovated everything they've done and built a lot of new things. We've got a lot of good places that are out there. Pimlico is going to be renovated, which is good. We've got all kinds of things that are going on, you know, all over the country. You get out on the West Coast, Santa Anita and Del Mar. Excellent places to go. You know, as they say about Del Mar, by the sea, by the sea, by the beautiful sea, Del Mar is the place to be. And so far, that's proven pretty good for them, because a lot of people are going to Del Mar and to Santa Anita. They're trying to catch a hold of history. And same thing with Churchill, Kansas Park, Turfway. You know, they're all rebuilding and restructuring, you know, for the fans. It is what you're doing. And to be honest with you, the handle, and when I say handle, that means the money that's taken in on a daily basis at each track is more than enough to support, you know, race meet at that place in time in Kentucky. You know, they've got three new harness tracks in Kentucky. They've got Churchill's redone. The Breeders' Cup is coming back to Keeneland. I think it's in 2027. We've got the Belmont Stakes is going to be again at Saratoga. They're just not quite ready at Belmont Park to, you know, take a huge amount of people and to be spectators. They're still building on that, and you'll see what they're doing there. So, you know, all in all, it's a good thing that we're doing. Now, this is a behind-the-scenes type of thing that nobody gets to see, nobody talks about. The Triple Crown, unbelievable here. The top three finishers in the Kentucky Derby finished 1, 2, 3 in the Belmont Stakes. So this is the odd part about our business here. For example, in September 17th of this coming year, you start your journey for the Kentucky Derby. You have a series of races that you have to run in, and you got to accumulate points, and that's your worldwide. And if you get enough points to get in, you know, and you're in the top 20, then you're going to race in the Derby. Well, something happened this year that was kind of ironic. We've always talked here about the weather conditions, track conditions, time, what race to run in, you know, that type of thing. Well, long story short, this past season, we had a lot of good horses. I mean, really good horses. They were on the trail to the Kentucky Derby. And they all kind of avoided each other for a while. But they were running against each other in some races, like the Florida and, you know, the Louisiana Derby, Arkansas Derby, New York. They had, you know, qualifying races up there, you know, that type of thing. And the thing that really got me this year is how diverse the field was and how spread out it was. And every weekend that went by, I'd look at the entries and say, well, doggone it, you know, so we're looking here at, you know, at Sovereignty that won the Belmont Stakes. Journalism ran second. Baeza ran third. Rodriguez ran fourth. Now, all those horses could have competed against each other, and some of them did during the winter and during the spring, you know, coming into the Derby. But what it did is it told us who is who and what is what. Now, there weren't any really outstanding this year coming into the Derby, in my opinion. And the reason I say that is it was a struggle for him. You know, they get to the Derby and they run bad. It's a 20-horse field. And then all of a sudden, nobody goes to the Preakness. They skip over the Preakness. And they're pointing for, you know, the Belmont at Saratoga, which is 1.25 miles. So in that programming that they're doing there, they're right on target. You know, they just get a three-week, four-week layoff in between races, that, you know, that type of thing. Well, all of a sudden, they come back to the Kentucky Derby, and we had first, second, and third, all running in the Belmont Stakes. We had Sovereignty that won the race. We had Journalism second, and Baeza third. And that was our Derby finish. So now the trainers are, you know, talking with their owners about where they go the rest of the year. They're going to be pointing for the Breeders' Cup is what they're going to be doing, you know, to get their horses, you know, in there. Well, long story short on this whole story that I'm rambling on about here is the fact you got to plan your programming now, and you got to have contingency plans in there in case you don't get enough points to run in the Derby, then where do you go? Then you focus on the Preakness. And if you don't run on Preakness in the Derby, then you run in the Belmont with a fresh horse. So there's so many things going on in the mind of a trainer and an owner, a Triple Crown season. Now, more importantly, you want to get into the Breeders' Cup, and you want to show well in the Breeders' Cup. And the reason I say that is is because all these horses that were pointing for the Derby are, and as soon as the Derby was over, you know, within an hour of the Derby being over, the owners are talking with the trainers, you know, as to what can we do to solidify our horses being a legitimate, you know, stallion, or, you know, that type of thing. So now they go not so much on winning races, but doing a race that will make them a stallion worthy, like winning the Belmont. Now, we got a whole bunch of races coming up over the next 4 or 5 weeks that will be leading up to Breeders' Cup, that you can identify your horse as a proven runner in the races that are coming up. And generally, there's going to be two or three every week leading into the Breeders' Cup, so that you can get a resume on your horse that when he goes to the breeding shed, you can say he did this, this, and this. He won at 7 furlongs. He won at a mile. He won at a mile and a quarter. He won at a mile and a half. You know, that's what you're looking at. And it's a very difficult task to do, because if you enter a race, one of the winning your end races, which if you do that, then that's a good check mark on your resume. And we'll be having those every week here, and you can go to msmequine.com to be able to see those races that are coming up. Not only see when they are, but you'll be able to watch them on msmequine.com. But, you know, having said that, these owners are really, because they're going to have to run against all the horses that are three-year-olds that have made a statement for themselves. And a classic example, we have the Travers coming up at Saratoga, and we have the Haskell coming up at Monmouth Park. Those are races that can certainly put a stamp of approval on your horse as a stallion, because they're different lengths, different tracks, you know, different situations. And that's very important, and that's where the owners are at now. For the rest of that horse's career, they're going to have to make sure that they go to the right track, to the right races, you know, to build that resume. And, you know, it could literally be all over with at the Breeders' Cup this year. There'll be a lot of horses that'll retire. There'll be a lot of horses that just won't run, you know, and all these other races coming up. So then after the Breeders' Cup, hopefully you do well in the Breeders' Cup. And if you do well in the Breeders' Cup, then that might be enough for, you know, to stamp your stallion's resume for breeding. You know, people would want to breed to them. So, you know, that's very important what they do. And then after the Breeders' Cup is over, you got to sit down and think, you know, is my horse's resume for breeding, is it in good order? Would you want to breed, you know, to the stallion? Well, a lot of owners and trainers will retire their horses after the Breeders' Cup, you know, and say, okay, we've done enough on our resume, you know, to, you know, validate him as a potentially a good stallion. And usually what happens when they decide to stop running after three and go to the breeding shed is they really get, as far as marketing is concerned, they really get heavy into the horse's bloodline. You know, the stallion, the mare, the offsprings, how many runners that, you know, that stallion has created and won stake races, that type of thing. So then that becomes pretty much a paper marketing thing is what you have to do, you know, with them. But if you decide to go on, you know, with your horse down the road, you got to be careful where you're running that. You don't want to run him in, you know, a lot as a four-year-old. And, you know, having suffered defeats, which that's always a real possibility, you know, to have happen to your stallion. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have to be done about that. There's more to this business than meets the eye. And what I like about it is all the tracks are doing a lot of things to solidify their resume, is why you want to go out to see them at the new Belmont Park or Churchill or, you know, whatever track you might be going to. And so far, we got 9 tracks that have gone in and all in, and they're redoing their tracks, remodeling it, making it fan-friendly. And when I say fan-friendly, you know, they got certain areas that you can go in, and if you want to get a lunch, you can get it for under $10. You know, you can get a beer, a hamburger, and a, you know, a dessert for under $10. So that's really important, you know, to what the tracks are doing, you know, in that way. Secondly, if you want to step it up a notch, they've got nice food courts that you can go into and sit around and eat a nice meal, and, you know, and for under $20, and really relax. And all these restaurants and food courts that I'm talking about, they all have access to to the television end of it, to all races on that card there where you're at, and then plus races from around the country via TVG. Is what they do. So now you got the lower end of the economic situation for the horsemen, which they're being treated very well, and, you know, and they enjoy going to do that. It's their cup of tea, as they say. Then you got the notch up, which is, you know, which is good. It's their potential, ownerships there. There's all kinds of things that are available to them, you know, there. It makes a difference, so they can take it up a next notch. Then you have the third tier up, which is the scholars and the owner's boxes and, you know, that type of thing where you can sit down and get fine dining. You know, you can get everything that you need right there and, you know, live like a king. And as long as you got the money and you're not taking the money away from your horse. As long as you can do that. So, you know, that's exciting. What all the tracks, the whole industry is doing that now. And the one thing that I must say is now if you want to go to the horse races, it's not like it used to be where you just say, hey, Bill, let's go to the rack and races. You get off work and you go to the races. You can still do that. But most people like to, you know, dress pretty decent, you know, and go there and really enjoy it. Feel like they're, you know, like they're being treated like somebody, you know, so they have that. And there's all kind of promotional things that they're going to have at the different tracks. You know, just some of the tracks you might go to and buy and register. And you get, and if you win, you get a box seat, you know, for a month or for 6 months or for a year. You know, there, and that's really going over real big. A lot of people take a chance on that. If they'll bet $2 on a horse that they think's going to win, then they're going to spend $1 to get a raffle ticket to get, possibly get a seat, you know, season passes. You know, that's what they do there. And so now, you know, people are wanting to come into the track. They're making it family friendly, you know, where the kids can get their faces painted and meet the jockeys. You know, they can do all things like that. Most of the tracks have a museum or a guided tour that you can go through in the mornings. You go over to have breakfast at the track, and they give you all kinds of sweet deals. You get a breakfast at the track, and you get the tour of the backside. You get to see the horses as they're training. As they come back into off the track and get a bath, and you see horses that are getting their shoes, getting shod by a blacksmith. They're cooling out in the morning, which they walk about 40 minutes, and then they come out and get their feet washed off, and you know, they get all ready to be done up, as they call. As they say on the backside, that means that they put their bandages on them and, you know, clean their feet and, you know, get them all groomed up, you know, get them all proper and all like that. So, you know, the horse industry is really changing. And I would suggest right now, Google Saratoga, or you can go to msnequine.com and go straight to Saratoga. And you can see all the amenities that they have there, the backside tour, the breakfast that they have, you know, there at the track, the horses are going to be running that day. And also on our website, it gives you good links to what's going on in Saratoga. What can you do other than see the horses in Saratoga? You know, it's really amazing. And I tell you, once you start to get into the horse end of it, and you start going, you're going to go around and see what all's in the community. You know, you're going to see like the hot springs that Saratoga, you're going to see the SPAC, which stands for the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. It's all kinds of concerts there all through the meet, you know, and during the summer, which is really good to go to, you know, relaxing, and the whole family can go. Of course, again, they have their backside tours. And I'd say their backside tour is probably the one that's the most fun, because you really get involved with them, and it's a beautiful backside on the racetrack. Now, I'm not saying the other tracks aren't like that, but, you know, it's just Saratoga's got the old nostalgic, you know, backside tour. Then you can go to Churchill Downs, and they got the super facility, state-of-the-art, there that you can go to. You also get a backside tour there. They've got a that you can go to, and in that see the trainers, you see the riders, you see the grooms, you even see an old guy in there, and I might be one of their best customers in there, you know, because I like to eat, and they got everything, and they got lunch, dinner, they have breakfast, dinner, and lunch all there at Churchill. And that menu is 24/7 on those. You know, you can order just about anything 24/7. And then you get to places, you know, like Laurel Park in Pimlico. Pimlico's last day of racing was the end of the meet for the Preakness week. They're going to be remodeling Pimlico, making it fan friendly, just like you know, Churchill and Santa Anita, and you know, and New York Belmont Park is doing. It's really good to go there and see that. It's very exciting in Maryland. They really get behind their races and everything. And if you Google equine when you get to Baltimore, you can see where a lot of horse shows will be held, and you know, that type of thing. And that's the most exciting thing to do for me. And even back when the internet first started, I really liked, you know, how it was. It's gotten better since then. But you just Google equine in whatever town you're in or from. And all of a sudden it'll pop up with all these different things to do, whether they're horse shows, horse racing, quarter horse events, which is a rodeo, you know, type thing. You got the harness industry, which is another thing that you can do. You know, it's just all kinds of things if you Google equine in your area, and you'll be surprised. And I guarantee you, if 10 people Google equine in their area right now, I guarantee you, 10 out of 10 people will think about going and visiting one of the equine facilities in their area just to, you know, get out and do something different. And that's the great thing about what we're doing here in the business. We've got a lot of people that have never been exposed, you know, to the horse industry, which is, you know, but on the horse industry, because the horse industry is rarely never marketed, you know, our business. Now, when you get to Kentucky, you can go to the horse park, and you literally can see every breed that there is at the horse park. You see all historical items there, from saddles and wagons, you know, whatever is related with the horse, you can see it, you know, there at the horse park. And it's a great tour to go to. They got a nice gift shop. They got a nice museum. If you like reading, they got some fantastic books there that talk about horses and owners and farms and, you know, that type of thing, which is really good. And then what I like the most about the horse park is it's laid out over many acres, almost 200 acres of land, I think. And you see people training and doing things. You see them playing polo. You see them, you know, doing cross country. You see a lot of things there at the horse park. And with the horse park, if you go into their office, they'll have a list of events that are coming up for that year. And just about every state has a horse park, you know, so you see from the huge big ones to the nice small, you know, country town, you know, places. And so that's what I like about doing that. But let me say on the horse park, for example, at the horse park, they can answer any question you have about the horse industry, no matter what breed, no matter what state, are international. They can answer that question for you. They can give you all the answers, you know, to that. And that's really great because it'll make you think about where you can go for your next vacation. You know, bring the kids, bring grandma, you know. It's really fantastic, you know, thing that they do there at the Kentucky Horse Park, Florida Horse Park, and, you know, all the different ones, you know, that you go to. And so basically what I'm trying to say today is, you know, last week was about, you know, that finished up the Triple Crown series. You know, and it was good. I wish I'd have talked more a little more about, you know, the Belmont. But my whole point here at MSM Equine is to get people out and get them looking and get them educated. You know, and that's what I'm saying. You don't have to Belmont or Churchill or Ocala or San Francisco or Santa Anita in LA. You don't have to go there. You can look that up on the internet. But more importantly, I think you would enjoy your equestrian events just as much as you would be enjoying the Derby, the Preakness, or the Belmont, or the Breeders' Cup. You know, that's what I think. That's how where I'm going at with all this. So if you ever got a question, you can email me at msmequine.com. msmequine.com. That's where you can get a hold of me at. So I'll answer any of your questions that you have. You know, I tell you, I wish I could go back and have the knowledge that I have now about the different actions and functions of the equine industry 30, 40 years ago. I'm a happier camper now because I would have, you know, done that on the weekends. But just remember, folks, the equine industry is a family thing that you can do. Google equine in your area. You know, go to our website and see what we have. And I guess, you know, it's about time for us to get out of here. I've confused you enough. I rambled enough and everything. But maybe that rambling and confusion is a marketing tool for me to get you to, you know, Google equine.com in your area. You know, I really appreciate that if you do that. Okay, I'm through for the day. Time for my medication. Time to go out and work hard on the farm here. But thank you for joining msmequine.com at the wire. Next week, we'll have a lot of race reviews, and we might even have an interview with Frankie Dettori, undoubtedly the greatest jockey of all times. So we'll see you next Thursday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time.